RIFT Research and Development, reuniting innovators and business tax credits. RIFTResearch.com.
Jobs in Kent.com.
SupplyMyBusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, March the 15th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. We're joined on the phone by the absolutely, I don't know, what? How could you describe this man?
The Chaiselong Lounge Lizard.
The lounge lizard of all lounge lizards, the lovely Peter Cook. Peter, hello.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. How are you?
Yes, fine, and you?
Well, very well, thanks, mate. Where are you at the moment?
Well, following your earlier feature, I'm in a pink tutu, of course.
Obviously.
Upstaging.
Laying around with some Earl Grey in the afternoon and smoking a pipe.
Oh, lovely.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll, eh? Nice stuff. So what are you up to, Peter?
Well, I've decided to give up work for... Well,
sounds good.
Shock. Yeah. Having sold at least 6 books now, I can afford to do this. So I've given up work for a month or two.
Right.
To focus on a project to help accelerate the end of cancer, which we're calling Life Aid.
Life Aid, okay.
After Live Aid. Hmm. And it's not particularly a personal thing of mine, although everyone in their family has got someone who's had cancer.
But of course,
it happened to me after I was asked to go on television to talk about David Bowie. I was actually, I don't believe in fairies, but I did consider David Bowie immortal.
Mm.
And then some friends said, well, why don't you do something about it?
Mm.
And so after a month or so, we've ended up with this project, which aims to sort of put on 1,000 concerts around the world. So it's
1,000?
Like
sorry, did you say 1,000, Peter?
Sorry?
Did you say 1,000?
1,000 or more.
Wow.
The idea, we start in a field in Wiltshire, sadly not in Kent, but we've been given an existing festival called Rock Against Cancer in Wiltshire in May to start this. We're trying to talk to Michael Eavis about getting Glastonbury in 2017.
Hmm.
And between that time, I'm sure you'll be familiar with the idea of the TED lectures that go around the world.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah, so we've got the same sort of idea as to let people put on festivals, providing they do it in a certain way.
Hmm.
And there aren't too many rules, but one of them is they don't spend all the money on helicopters and champagne, that they actually produce a return for, you know, for the calls.
Yeah.
And the other one is that they stream it so that people can pay-per-view or buy the whole experience. So we aim to raise an absolute fortune.
Hmm.
Estimates vary, but you know, $50 billion has been mentioned.
Hmm.
But to do that, I need to put some boots on the ground. So I've got a little Kickstarter project, like one of these things that builds a sort of startup company, for me to be able to hire the bodies that would be able to organise this humongous venture. I myself am not taking anything out of it, but I've got this project running until April the 6th, and we're hoping to run in to raise enough capital to sort of put a small project office up, rather like Bob Geldof would have had in 1985. For Live Aid, and I need to then hire professional people, things like fundraisers, social media people, website people, press people, an accountant. We'll have to have an accountant, I feel.
Right.
Various other bodies.
Hmm.
But so we're looking for people either that want to just give some money as an individual, or if they want to take something back for it, we've got corporate mentoring packages, team development. We could offer a company to have a badge and say, I was one of the first people that sort of that made this happen, right up to buying a guitar for £5,000, which would be signed by some of the people performing these concerts. So that's the sort of concept in a nutshell.
Fantastic. What a fantastic project.
And doing it in a nutshell as well.
Yeah, absolutely. This man is fabulous.
Yeah.
This man is fabulous. So, remind us again, Peter, how can people get involved? How can they find out where the events are? How can they, more importantly, give you money?
The very easiest way to do it is to go to the Facebook page, which is /BeatWorldCancer, one word. If they go to the Twitter page, they'll find BeatWorldCancer on Twitter. And from both those pages, there are links to the Kickstarter campaign. I won't read that out.
No, sure.
It's complicated. But if they go anywhere like that, or I suspect these days they could use the power of Google and put Kickstarter, Life Aid, Peter Cook, or something like that into Google, I bet it would come up.
And, of course, we'll put all those links on the Kent Business Radio community pages so people can see them there as well.
Yeah, but, it's going reasonably well, but it needs a lot more effort. And we're only doing it one time. So I've had people saying, oh, I'll do the next one.
Right.
There is going to be a next one because I'll be bankrupt.
It's this or nothing.
It's now or never.
It's now or never. It's or bust.
As Elvis once said.
Yeah. Nice one, Pete.
Right. Thank you very much.
No, as always, Peter, it's a pleasure to hear from you and to just, you know, the things that you get involved in and the causes that you promote are just brilliant, and we really, really do appreciate that. And we wish you much luck with this latest project. And we're glad to hear that you've managed to retire because you don't need the money anymore.
Temporarily.
Peter, thanks for joining us on the Business Monk Show. Always a pleasure to hear from you, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Cheers, and to you.
Cheers, mate. Take
bye
care.
Bye. And bye. Good luck there, Peter, to gathering your nutshells.
Peter Cook, Academy of Rock, business consultant.
Always up to something.
Mentor, inspirationist, and author. Good stuff. Thanks, Peter. We've still got loads of tweets coming in. We've still got loads of emails. We've got another guest to talk to. Fruitworks, can we have a shout-out for our awesome co-working space in Canterbury, please, Vanilla Web? We're expanding our offices beginning in April. They certainly are. There's also, which they haven't mentioned, but I will, Create on the 24th of March. That's Thursday the 24th of March, 6:30 in the evening, a free event, networking, three speakers, free beer, few nibbles, loads of people. There were 50 people at the last one.
I know, it's great
space. Yeah.
I went there just to buy some lentils the other day next door, you know, the new place.
They haven't got any, they've gone.
No, you've sold them all out.
They've gone. We had the last lentils. We have the
last
lentils. They've actually moved. Canterbury Whole Foods, who Fruitworks are taking over what was the supermarket, Canterbury Whole Foods, and a restaurant, Canterbury Veg Box.
Yeah.
But both those organisations are still in Canterbury and still trading, and they both moved up to the Burgate.
Yeah. They have.
17 Burgate is where
I
you can find
Canterbury
Whole Foods.
I don't really know where Burgate is. I get it's very where, lost. Which
the
is
entrance,
it?
The main entrance to the cathedral.
Where the arch is.
Yep, that is in Burgate.
Okay, well, that's where Elsimo's is.
Yes, Elsimo's is in Burgate.
I never knew that was Burgate.
Yeah, yeah.
I just go there.
Yeah, yeah.
I never knew it was Burgate.
That road there is Burgate, and it comes down to the buttermilk.
Piazza,
in front of the main gates. Then the road name changes and becomes the high street or something.
I get very confused, but I think it should be called Burger Gate because of Elsie and rather large burgers.
Yeah, number 17 Burgate. Anyway, you can find
that's where you get your lentils.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you want hot desk working and stuff, Fruitworks.
Yep, 77 Stour Street, or soon to be through the new front door. At 1 and 2 Drury Lane.
Oh, so you're changing the door.
Yeah, well, because we...
Oh, you're having their old door.
We're having their old door because
so
it's bigger.
So those great big double doors.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no good for you because you've lost weight now.
It is good for me. I still get through it.
You don't need a double door, do you? You can go through a single door.
Yep. Telcare Limited have tweeted to say that they're missing today's show.
Oh.
Because they're busy, but they're going to catch up later.
How tardy of them.
And I've also had a tweet from Chris Pollard and Miriam McGurk, who say, Happy St. Patrick's Day from Dublin, which is where they are.
Yeah.
And there's St. Patrick's Day. I can't actually see the tweet at the moment, so I'm doing this from memory. Talesfromturkey.co.uk/blog is where they're writing about what they're up to in Dublin at the moment.
The two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Frolicking in Dublin. Now, Nurse Liz, I think, has just woken up because she started tweeting. Because I think, haven't they gone on to daylight saving hours?
Yes, they had last weekend, yeah.
Yeah, so she can sort of tune in a bit more easily at the moment.
Absolutely.
Until we change.
Carl from Kent have tweeted. Jules Sirkin, they mentioned. Cool. Jules and Vanilla Web. Can we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? You can buy or sell your car locally in Kent at carsfromkent.com. There you go. You've been shouted out. Jules.
And thank you, Cars from Kent. I wonder what their car of the week is.
I don't know.
Well, probably they won't tell us till later. Yeah.
Jill Munro has tweeted, May I have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? I've room for a new social media management client from mid-April. Thank you. You can follow Jill on the Twitter. It's Jill Munro, GILLMUNRO. Jill,
she was
Scottish.
On our show too, wasn't
Jill
she?
Jill is Scottish.
Okay.
You missed your opportunity
I'm plowing through my tweets.
I've got a really weird tweet here.
Have you?
Yeah, Elsimo.
Oh, what they're saying now?
Well, it's not what they're saying. It's just a picture.
All right.
Of some really strange woman with half a cow in front of her. And a rather good-looking young man with something that looks like the world's biggest burger.
Ah, that would be the Shea Serkin.
Yeah.
And that burger was huge, absolutely huge. He took it home with him in a little doggy bag that Elsie Mose gave him. And Mimi Laws tucked into it, his girlfriend. And then Shea had it for the next day for breakfast. It went on for about a week, I think.
I'm not surprised, the size
huge,
of it.
Huge it was.
I've just found Miriam's tweet, Miriam and Chris Pollard's tweet.
Oh, yeah, what they're saying.
They said, can we have a shout-out, please? Happy St. Patrick's Day. And it's talesfromturkey.com. I do beg your pardon, talesfromturkey.com/blog.
You know why?
Why what?
Because she's a global author.
Absolutely, of course
yeah,
she is.
No, yeah. .co.uk.
And the Federation of Small Business, Andrew Knott, A-Knott 20, A-K-N-O-T-T-20. Afternoon, Paul and Jules. Can I have a shout-out, please? If you want to learn more about the Federation of Small Business, call Andrew Knott on 07747-114627 or follow him on the Twitter at A-Knott 20. That's A-K-N-O-T-T-20. So do check that out.
Of course, this Friday, Elsie Mose have got their Shakes Rattle and Roll, which is Friday the 18th of March. It's 7 till 11, a great mix of hot 1950s dance floor fillers with retro DJ Reverend Boogie, rockabilly, R&R, D-Wop, early R&B, lounge and Latin. It's a simple beginner's jive class and you don't need a partner, which will be good for you, Paul Andrews, because you don't have a partner at the moment, do you?
No, that's true. I'm just looking at this. I'm ignoring you and looking at this.
11-12 Burgate, Canterbury.
No, Sonia Wood.
Oh, yeah, what's she
of
saying?
Of EcoSan, Sonia at EcoSan.
We love her.
She's just posted this. She said, are you feeling old, Vanilla Webb?
Oh, well, you are.
Yeah. She said, do you know Guns N' Roses was formed 31 years ago?
Sweet child of mine.
Scooby-Doo made his first TV appearance 47 years ago. The movie E.T. was released 34 years ago. Cyndi Lauper is 63 this year.
Oh, that is
the
old.
Very first compact disc was sold 34 years ago.
What's a compact disc?
You know, CD.
CD, okay. Yeah. I didn't even know what it was.
Pac-Man was released 36 years ago. And the first Sonny Walkman was sold 37 years ago.
That is scary.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Cool. I've had a tweet from B&D Events, the lovely Amanda, Butterflies2019 on the Twitter. Please could we have a shout out for our shared business breakfast with Telcare Limited on Tuesday the 22nd of March at Cote Brasserie. Tickets are on Eventbrite. I think that's Cote Brasserie at Bluewater as well.
Yeah.
Is I think where it is because you read an email out about it.
Yeah,
Amanda.
It is.
But do follow Amanda, the lovely Amanda Flanders, Butterflies2019 on the Twitter, B&D Events, and find out more about the Telcare Butterflies business breakfast on Tuesday the 22nd of March. Cool. We've got loads more tweets coming in. We'll read them in a minute. But right now, I want to introduce our next guest on the show.
I do.
It was an absolute pleasure to catch up once again with the lovely Susanna Schofield, OBE, recently awarded in the News Honours List and very well deserved too. Mm. Susanna was going to come on the show today, but they've had to hot foot it to Portugal. So I popped over to them at the end of last week. No, not to Portugal. To Sevenoaks. To the Bullfinch at Riverhead, in fact.
But did you do the interview from a deck chair?
I did the interview from the bar of the Bullfinch in Riverhead. And we recorded this interview just before Susanna had to hot foot it off. So, hey, I'll tell you what. Have a listen to this. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. This is Paul Andrews, and I'm here with Susanna Schofield, OBE. Susanna is the Chief Executive of Dice Matrix Consulting and author of Mind the Gap. And I'm going to start, Susanna, by congratulating you first.
Thank
you.
You
were awarded an OBE in the New Year's Honours List. Was that a surprise?
It was a great surprise, actually. Yeah, we actually find out in November.
Right.
I come back from a wine tasting evening with my husband, and there was a very formal letter on the doormat, and he actually asked me what I'd done wrong. So when we opened it up,
fine.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and it looked very formal. When we opened it up, I was just blown away. And it's confidential who nominates you, and I've to this day not got any idea, but I'm absolutely humbled by it. And the day out was amazing.
Right. So and you went to the palace, and you
we
collected
expected you'd gone.
Absolutely.
Who presented you would have gone?
Prince Charles. So, yes, we got a good one, as they say.
Fantastic.
So, no, it was great. And the girls came up and they got to, you know, they couldn't quite believe that they were in Buckingham Palace. And
wow.
Slightly upset that they didn't get to see the corgis, but that's a 5- and 7-year-old's priority on what's important out of the day.
Absolutely.
And when asked what they remember the most, it's the changing of the horses and the guards and all that sort of thing. So the rest of it
Brilliant.
Was just totally irrelevant
Brilliant.
For them. But no, it was
well,
amazing.
Well, many congratulations.
Thank you.
And it
Thank
is fabulously well deserved, Suzanne.
Thank you.
I want you to tell the listeners now a bit about Dice Matrix Consulting, who you are, what you do.
Absolutely. Well, Dice Matrix Consulting really is an absolute accident, to be honest. Wrote a book called Mind the Gap, and it was important for me that when we finished writing the book, I finished writing the book, it just felt like a labour of love with lots of people. Once all the research was done, that the book just didn't go out and didn't have anything to deliver to anybody. So I wanted to put a business model in the end of it. So worked with some companies, put together a business model, and actually after it was published, we kind of thought it needed to be turned into a consultancy. So turned it into a small consultancy, did it with a few businesses, but it's very, very labour intensive.
Right.
So we sort of, over the years, have started to automate it. And originally the model was designed in 2011. So we're some 5 years into its conception. It's changed a lot from its infancy in the book. But ultimately, it's a very simplistic business model that allows people to look at their company in a 360-degree holistic view
right.
to understand what's going on. So lots of companies do customer insight and employee engagement surveys, but they do them in blissful ignorance.
Right.
What Dice Matrix does is do them together and piece it together so that we do then a bit of gap analysis. So it's not a survey tool, that's just how we gather the insight.
Right, okay.
But from that, we then take that and ergonomically look at the questions together and then can deliver some form of strategy.
So basically, the surveys are just the starting point for
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
You collect data, but the big thing that you do is then analyse the data, compile the data, put it together, get a story, get something out of it that's useful for people to use.
Absolutely. And what we do is we deliver a report back. When we do it to bespoke companies, we'll deliver a report back that literally details where their key points are. It's almost like a SWOT analysis.
Yeah, I was going to say, in marketing terms, they normally call that, there's a term that they use for it, which is qualitative analysis or stuff
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly right. Yeah,
yeah.
So we'll
yeah.
look at all the data and we'll compress it. And we'll also do it against sector as well, where those industries are, whether they sit above average, below average, where they sit, and then we'll give back a full report which even goes down to actions and considerations as to how we our recommendations would be to take their business forward. But it's very, very affordable. The front end's automated to allow us to go in almost
right.
like the silent consultant, carry out these surveys. Employees just think they're answering questions to help build the business. Customers think they're just doing a customer survey. We then take the data away and do something amazing with it and
Fantastic.
Scrunch all the numbers and give people back something really tangible to do something with.
So you cast some chicken bones and throw some dice and all that kind
That's
of stuff.
That's exactly right.
Look
stones
at the time
together.
Of year and then, yeah, and then come up with some answers.
It's a little
Fantastic.
Bit more scientific than that,
oh, right,
but not
okay.
much. Yeah.
yeah, brilliant. Okay. That's fantastic. So you're doing this quantitative analysis on the whole thing that you've collected this data on. And in terms of collecting data, how do you go about that? How do you collect data? Who's this aimed at?
So, well, it depends how we do it. So normally we'll do it bespokely for a customer. So
right.
it would then go out to the client's employees
I
and
understand.
The client's
okay.
customers, and then we piece it together. But actually what we're starting to do now is look more and more into sectors and industries. So currently at the moment we're actually running a project in the insurance industry because
right. okay.
something that I'm very passionate about is small, medium enterprises and that need to want to help people grow and help their businesses grow. And it's fundamentally why the model was written in the first place. It,
okay.
it was born out of an absolutely catastrophic cock-up myself when I went into business and epically failed, losing lots of money. My children won't go to university now while we pay the debt off.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But,
yeah.
having learnt all of that, I kind of felt I wanted to share with people where
yeah.
I went wrong and what I did wrong, and that was what this model was about. So
it's interesting that you say that about the insurance market with SMEs, small and medium-sized businesses. Funny enough, we were having a debate about this with an insurance broker a couple of weeks ago on a Business Bunker show. And one of the things that I found as an angel investor getting involved in startup businesses, a lot of businesses put off insurance as being a cost that they can't afford when they first start a business, which is insanity.
Absolutely.
You know, it's absolutely insane to not have the right level of cover. Not only that, an awful lot of businesses don't seem to understand the legal requirements for certain insurances, like public liability and employee liability insurance, which are legal requirements. You have to have them. And a lot of businesses don't have them because they don't understand and they don't really see what's available and why they have to have it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think what you're doing is brilliant because it is desperately needed, because so many people don't understand the market.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on, Paul. And I think for us it was that real moment when we looked at the insurance market and said, do you know what? Actually, we need to be able to get advice, SMEs. How we've done it is we're going to go out and ask, and we are in the process of asking, lots of small and medium enterprises to take part in the survey. We're also getting loads of brokers and insurers to do, and we've been supported by the likes of ACE, Chubb, Davies Group, Cobra, in partnership with Cohesion, the marketing company. So we're collaborating all together to get these guys to really understand what the brokers and insurers actually think what SMEs want. And then we're going to ask SMEs what they really want, and then we're going to inform the insurance
industry. And then you're
going
to shock everyone.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love that. That's really, really interesting. Because what normally happens with these things, you only ask one half of the equation.
Totally. Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by the fact that you're going to ask brokers and insurance companies their thoughts and feelings. And I'm just thinking and feeling that you're going to get some really weird and wonderful answers, and probably some very insightful stuff out of this.
I think so. It's quite interesting. And what's coming out to start with, and we're in its infancy, and we've still got another two, three weeks to go. But what's really interesting is most insurers believe that brokers are the only way to buy, and they obviously sell their insurance through that channel to market. Mm. And actually, most SMEs don't really want to speak to a broker. They want to do it quicker, faster, cheaper, more efficiently, almost like they'd like to buy a bundle. And they'd kind of like to have the allocation where they could just say, do you know what, I do this for a living. What insurance do I need? How much do I need? Make it simple for me. Help me understand.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I would imagine a lot of micro businesses and very small and startup businesses, their only exposure to the insurance market these days is compare to market and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So basically, they're looking for a portal where they can go, right, I need business insurance. Who's got the cheapest?
Totally. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And insurers aren't really seeing that. They're thinking, well, they'll go and speak to their broker. But we all know, and from running a small business myself, absolutely, I am time poor. Mm. I don't have time to spend a morning out talking to a broker to discuss my insurance needs.
And quite possibly you do, I know you do, but most businesses wouldn't even know what to ask them anyway.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, this is one of the things that I see quite regularly, is people don't even know what type of insurance they want. They know they probably need some, but what, they have no idea.
Yeah.
And unless you ask the right question of the right person, you're not going to get the right answer. One of the other things we've been discussing just recently, and I know the government are heavily involved in looking at this, is flood insurance as well for businesses.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, is a whole minefield at the moment, because a lot of businesses, in fact, my own business, my head office in Maidstone, is it's right by the River Medway.
But only when it doesn't rain.
Only when it doesn't rain, or they don't open the sluice gates at Tunbridge, otherwise, you're well up the Swanee then, literally. So flood insurance and things like that, and things that people need to know about and aren't sure about.
It's access insurance as well, because we were talking yesterday, you know, that it's that moment of when the M20 and Operation Stack, and people just couldn't get in and out of their own businesses.
Absolutely.
You know, you just don't think to insure for that. But actually, if you're a small shop and people aren't coming to see you because they know the M20 is closed, that's really, really fundamental to what you earn. And you can insure that for peanuts, but actually it's really important for the longevity of your company. So it's quite interesting, but I think it's down to trust for me. I think when small businesses, they tend to collaborate with other small businesses, but actually when you buy insurance, you have to go to a big business, and then there's that level of, can I trust them? Are they advising me correctly? Do I really need that level of insurance? Don't I? And if there's a doubt and you don't have to spend money on it, why would you? So I think what I'm hoping out of this piece of research is we can really inform the insurance industry and the brokers actually what SMEs really want, and start driving that agenda to make sure that we get small businesses, you know, educated easily, quickly and effectively for what they have to have, what they could have, and the nice to haves in the insurance market.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I totally get that. Do you have a feel, have you begun this data collection exercise?
We have indeed, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We've got a website set up now where people can go on and complete the survey.
We'll find that out from you later on in the interview, and we'll get people to join in. Are you, in terms of the people, leaving aside insurance brokers and companies at the moment and looking at the SME side of it, are you targeting particular types of industries, or anybody running an SME entitled to join in the survey?
Just anybody running a business, yeah. Whether you're a one-man band or employing 250 people, you know, whatever it is, that's absolutely spot on. And we want to know from across the breadth, because I think it's that marketplace as a whole as to what people want.
Okay.
That's important.
And do you have a target number in mind of the amount of people that you'd like to get involved?
We'd really love to hit that. I always think statistical validity, easy for me to say, comes at about 100, but we'd really love to get as many as we can. You know, if we can beat the 1,000 mark, that's fantastic. Brilliant. But, yeah, you know, yeah, and it's a national survey, so we're going out to everyone.
So it goes right across the UK. Yeah. Okay, that's
we're actually
really
taking
cool
the results to the insurance and broker sector at Viva this year, right, which is the at their annual conference. There'll be, you know, the great and the good of the insurance and broker industry there, and we're taking it there in partnership with Post Magazine, which is their kind of their
in-house
go-to.
Trade in-house magazine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and they're actually going to publish the top end results in a magazine in May for Viva. So we'll kind of be telling them, you know, at their conference what's coming.
You're going to break it to them.
We are, yeah, absolutely.
When we're in mid hangover.
Yes. Luckily, we're on day one because I do believe day two is a bit like that. But we're day one.
And I think it's a fantastically interesting project that you're doing, especially because you've got both sides of this.
Yeah, and that's why the intellectual property of Dice Matrix.
Yeah, that's really what I love about this more than anything, is the fact that you're going to ask both sides of the equation. Because quite often we don't do that. You know, we do loads of surveys of what do you think of your bank, what do you think of this, what do you think of that. But we never go and say to the banks, what do you think people actually want, and why aren't you delivering it, or, you know, why are you delivering what people don't actually want.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's that naive ignorance, isn't it, of thinking that we know what our customers want. And I do a little bit as well. You know, I think, well, that's what we need to do. That's where we need to go. But actually, if you ask, it can have some startling results. And I've sat in many meeting rooms where we've all drawn up a SWOT analysis, the strengths, your weaknesses. And it's the voice that shouts the loudest and the most opinionated person that probably drives the strategy of that business moving forward. And that's crazy. It shouldn't be on that. It should be about customers and employees and people really in the front end dealing with people all day. That should drive those decisions because they know. So that's, as I say, that's the intellectual property of what we love to do at
Absolutely. That's fantastic. And so you've already started the data collection process. Absolutely. Presumably there's a point when it finishes.
Yes, we'll draw it to the end of the close just after the Easter weekend.
Okay.
And then we'll collate all the data. It gives us a month to, as you say, cast the roof stones, read the tea leaves and do all the analysis rubbish.
Yeah.
And then put it out for Viva in May.
And just because I'm fascinated by it, once you've got all the data and you start to analyse it, how are you going about that process? That's something that you guys are doing. You've got a team of people analysing the data.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we'll do the comparisons to start with, and then we'll look at industry average, sector average, where it should fall, how people should behave, and then we'll collate it all together. We do a bit of magic that makes our business model work that I'm not prepared to share, and then we'll produce a detailed report, and actually Cohesion are then going to take that and do all the infographics towards it and make it, as I like to say, the colouring in bit. But that's not what marketing's about at all.
No, you definitely need crayons. It doesn't work without crayons.
So they're going to make it all look beautiful, and then we're going to take it out. But I'm thinking, actually, just from the initial cut of the results, where we're kind of 10 days in, and I think there's going to be some startling differences between what insurers and brokers think and what customers actually want. So we're hoping to be able to lift the lid on that. And then obviously this is year one. What we're planning on doing, hopefully, is it again next year.
Right.
But we'll grow from to be able to demonstrate to SMEs that kind of demonstrable difference of here's where we were and actually here's where we are now.
Right.
Because we can show that the peaks and the troughs are moving on from day to year, from year one to year two.
Okay,
we can hopefully show where the improvements have come, so that actually you know, we can start influencing that sector moving forward.
Well, that'll be fascinating as well, won't it, to have year two and year three, where you can see what actually happened and how the market moved and how it changed. Because I'm fascinated by that as a process. That process of evolution in markets is something that gets overlooked an awful lot. So that's going to be fascinating as you move through this. Do you have a set of targets, or are you just going to keep going with this as a kind of product?
I think we'll probably do 3 years in the insurance industry, one, two and three, and then we'll take stock. And we might then change the questions or change. But I think you have to be reactive as to what the market does.
Yeah.
So that if in that time insurance changes dramatically, that actually there does come a compare the market for businesses, then obviously we'd need to look at the research and insights required for
Absolutely.
It and, you know, move accordingly. But I think definitely the next couple of years, while it's changing, it'll be excellent to take those monitoring steps along that journey and see.
Fantastic. So, Susanna, where can people go if they want to participate in the survey or find out more about it?
Oh yeah, it'd be great if everyone could. That would be fantastic. And the address is www.dicematrixconsulting.co.uk, and that's my website. And if they go onto there, on the right hand side there's a little label that says Insight 360, and then that takes them through to the link for the survey. So please go on and complete it. Have your say.
Fantastic. And we'll put a link to that on the Business Bunker website
Paul.
As well.
Thank you.
So, Okay. And are you active on social media? Can they follow you on the Twitter or
they
the Facebook?
They can. It's
or?
At Dice Matrix on Twitter. Facebook we're not on, but at Dice Matrix on Twitter.
It's all cute pictures.
Yeah,
like
absolutely. Yeah, can't be doing that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're on the Twitter at Dice Matrix.
Totally. And the only other thing I'd say is that please do jobs for Twitter. If you think there's a sector out there or any of the SMEs listening, think, oh, do you know what? It would be great to have a bit of insight in my industry, whether it's the motor industry or the, you know, the health industry, whatever it is, if they think there's a need to have an understanding of where that sector's going from a really high profile, then you know, tweet, let us know what it is, and we'll look to do a white paper in that area too.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, as always, Susanna.
I couldn't agree more, Paul.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. Susanna Scarfield, CEO of Dice Matrix Consultants. Susanna Scarfield, OBE, CEO of Dice Matrix Consulting. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Paul. Thank
pleasure.
You.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
So that was Susanna Scofield, OBE of Dice Matrix Consulting, telling us, I mentioned earlier about the survey that they're trying to do and the kind of things that they're trying to put together. If you go to the homepage of the Kent Business Radio website, there's a dirty great banner at the bottom. You can click on that and go and fill out that survey for Susanna and the team, and we would be most appreciative if you could. You can read us an email, Jules.
I will read you a wee email. It is
a wee email
in my tartan. Mm. It's a new workshop. It's a Virgin Startup, How to Raise Money for Your Business, March the 15th at the Nucleus in Dartford. You can save 50% with a discount code. I'm going to read that out. So come and join Andy Fishburne, who's head of investment at Virgin Startup, as he guides you through the realities of business funding from an investor's perspective. The discount you need to save 50% is P for Peter, 10, discount 50. And during this in-depth workshop, Andy will share his wealth of experience and give you the edge to successfully raise money in today's competitive market. He'll run you through what funding options are available and their pros and cons, how to improve your chances of receiving investment, what are lenders and investors really looking for, how to identify the type of funding that is best for your business, what the process really involves and pitfalls to watch out for. That's pitfalls, not pit bulls, aka pet services. how they make the decision to lend, invest or not. The details will all be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk after the show. But again, that discount for 50% is P10, discount 50. Andy Fishburne, the head of investment at Virgin Startup. And it is March 15th at the Nucleus Dartford, Paul Andrews.
Fantastic, thank you. We've had a late flurry of tweets, and
I'm just going to
rush through a few of them. Peter Cook has tweeted to say, "Oh, Jules, I snapped me elastic on my pink tutu. Can you assist?"
Has he got his knickers in a tweet?
He has indeed. David Carrison of Carrison _ MD. That's Carrison with a K, KARRISON _ MD. David Robinson of Carrison over there in West Kent has replied to a picture that AK Pet Services put up of a couple of dogs laughing at us. And David has said, well, they're certainly not laughing at Paul's jokes. They've been appalling. So thank you for that, David. Do thank you for listening in. I tried to improve my jokes.
Yeah, you should.
And Kent Photo Fair on the Twitter has joined us to listen in. We've also had a tweet, and we haven't heard from these guys for a while. I was beginning to worry about them, but they're back, and that's brilliant. And that's the lovely folks at Eke Media.
Dreaming Blue Skies.
Yeah, right. Over there at the old Printworks in Otford. Fabulous web design agency and marketing agency, Eke Media. And they've asked a question. Any predictions or a wish list for George's budget tomorrow? Well, I've got a wish list. I don't think I stand any chance whatsoever of getting it.
What is number one on your wish list?
Is the scrapping of income tax. And
no,
number two is
nice.
The scrapping of VAT.
Yeah.
And you got the idea. But
he's going to try and get some money for a 10 or 11 mile tunnel, isn't he?
Yeah.
To go underground to buy. But did you hear about that today?
Something like that.
But it was 76 million or something just to look into the building the tunnel.
At the end of the day, they're going to spend more money, they're going to take more money off us, and they're going to waste more money, and they're going to borrow more money. And that's about the sum total of it.
What do we think they're going to do with alcohol again? Because they always put a couple of pennies on that.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Pubs and that's where they struggle, of course.
Mm, absolutely. So we shall wait with not very bated breath to see how they mess around with the current 12,000 pages of tax code.
Yeah.
The whole of Hong Kong has 200 pages for their tax code, and they're the wealthiest country in the world.
Well, how many trees 12, are they chopping down?
We've got 12,000 pages. It's about time they just simplified the tax code, to be honest. And then people couldn't avoid paying their taxes, could they?
No.
Which is one of the problems we've got. Anyway, it's that time again.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show where we bring you news from the Federation of Small Business. Jules.
Okay, there's a new data protection self-assessment tool. The ICO has launched a self-assessment tool to help small business owners assess their compliance with the Data Protection Act. The assessment covers the key obligations that small firms have when processing their customers' personal info, as well as providing links to relevant guidance. And the new toolkit can be completed as one comprehensive assessment, or it can be assessed as separate checklists so users can adapt it to their individual business needs. And you can go to ico.org.uk to find out more about that. There's also financial penalties to come into force from April 2016 for employers who fail to pay tribunal awards. And the government has confirmed that it expects Section 150 of the Small Business Enterprise and Employment Act of last year to come into force from April 2016. Section 150 amends the Employment Tribunals Act 1996 to enable financial penalties to be imposed on employers who failed to pay either an Employment Tribunal Financial Award or an AKAS conciliated settlement sum pool.
Thank you. This is going to be interesting, this next piece that I'm going to read out.
Makes a change.
Because we have a number of listeners that are in the training and coaching business.
Yes.
And this is the result of a research program by the Federation of Small Business, in which they found that the leadership skills shortfall is holding back the UK economy. A lack of leadership and management skills is hampering the growth potential of small businesses and acting as a brake on productivity, according to a new paper published today by the Federation of Small Business. The FSB report, Leading the Way, Boosting Leadership and Management in Small Firms, shows how policymakers, small businesses and partners in the private sector can join forces to tackle the UK's leadership and management skills deficit. The report found that while three-fifths of small business owners, that 59%, say they update their business knowledge and skills at least once a year, a specific management training is often lacking. Only a quarter of small firms questioned, just 25%, had undertaken any management training in the last 12 months. One in four, 26%, had never undergone any form of management training at all. The FSB also found few smaller businesses seek external management training for staff, with just 19% offering such training to their employees. The FSB report identified many of the main barriers to tackling this issue. Specifically, it found the cost and availability of relevant training to be a key factor. 43% of firms listed the cost of training as a major challenge, and 34% listed availability and knowledge of the relevant training as a problem. Currently, just under half of all new UK startups fail in their first 3 years. Studies suggest that a leading cause of failure is poor leadership and management skills. The skill shortfall partly explains the growing productivity gap, with the UK consistently trailing behind its competitors, falling a full 18% below the G7 average. If you want to read more about that, if you go to the Kent Business Radio website, there's a tab that says FSB, and there's a link to that report and a lot of other reports that the FSB published. So do have a look at that.
Well, interestingly, when we're talking about the skills shortage, just very quickly, there will be a huge skills shortage in the hospitality industry this year, apparently, and coming up in the next few years. New laws proposed to encourage cross-border online shopping. The European Commission has published draft legalisation as part of its digital single marketing strategy. If implemented, the legalisation would harmonise consumer law in relation to online shopping throughout the European Union, which the Commission hopes will result in more consumers purchasing goods online from traders in another member state. Another 50% of consumers in the EU shopped online in 2014. Only 18% purchased goods from a retailer in another EU country, and just 12% of EU retailers sold goods online to consumers located in other member states.
Fantastic. Following on from the mention that you just made of skills, the FSB are looking at creating high-quality jobs. The issue is that small and micro businesses have created the highest number of jobs since its recession. A study by the IPPR from April 2014 shows that 84% of all new jobs created in the private sector between 2010 and 2013 were in SMEs. Small firms are also more likely to play a social as well as an economic role compared to larger companies. They employ the unemployed, long-term sick, people with disabilities and students. Yet many small firms struggle to overcome barriers to recruitment, especially first-time employers. The action that the FSB have taken is to call on policymakers to recognise the critical role that small businesses play in creating high-quality jobs in local communities. They've been lobbying the Treasury for the employment allowance to be increased to help businesses take on staff, increase training and to increase pay, promoting the benefits of flexible working for productivity, performance and recruitment among small employers. They've called on the government to support the creation of collective insurance schemes. This will help small business to offer a wide range of benefits to their staff. And our goal, the goal of the FSB, is we want policymakers to help build an environment that encourages job creation and provides practical support for small firms. We believe this will encourage more people to consider a career in small business. Reforming employment regulations will help small companies take on staff and to grow.
The councils will be gaining control over Sunday trading, say the FSB. Local authorities in England and Wales will have the power to create zones with extended opening hours on Sundays. Business Secretary Sajid Javid has announced during the second reading of the Enterprise Bill. The devolution of Sunday trading rules is expected to give a boost to local high street traders, competing with online retailers, of course. So shop workers in larger stores will have the right to opt out of working on Sundays on religious grounds or for family reasons. The notice period they are required to give to their employers will be reduced from 3 months to 1 month, and shop owners will have a duty to inform their workers of these rights. Good one there. Also, government must step up efforts on small business procurement. So commenting on the National Audit Office, known as the NAO, report on government spending with small and medium-sized enterprises, Mike Cherry, who's the policy director at the Federation of Small Business, has said that the NAO has acknowledged government efforts to remove barriers that prevent smaller businesses from bidding for public contracts. But there's still much work to be done to spread good practice across the public sector, says Mike Cherry. And as the report points out, although recent initiatives have brought some positive changes, progress relies on the willingness of individual procurers to implement them. So they're supporting particularly the NAO's call for government to ensure that contractors pass on prompt payment terms to businesses in their supply chain. With 60% of government spending with their SMEs channeled via large tier one contractors, it's imperative that all public sector buyers use their position as clients to ensure contractors treat their suppliers fairly. That's a comment there from the FSB and Mike Cherry, who is the policy director at the Federation of Small Businesses.
Cool. Charities are now able to file their accounts online with Companies House. Charities can now submit their accounts digitally with Companies House after a successful consultation carried out by the Charity Commission and the Financial Reporting Council. The consultation was about proposed updates to the charity taxonomy or classification system that Companies House uses to identify and analyse pieces of financial data in accounts. The updated taxonomy now meets the requirements of the Charity SORP and Financial Reporting Standards FRS 102, which the Commission claims will make the filing of accounts quicker and easier. Around 70% of companies, that's non-charities, already file their accounts online with Companies House, but this was not an option for charities until this new taxonomy was introduced.
There's red tape review welcome, but must include tax simplification, says the FSB.
That's easy for you to say.
And then it's my dear friend, Business Secretary Sajid Javid, and he's announced new measures to achieve the government's 10 billion red tape cutting target. The one in, two out rule for new UK regulations is to be increased to one in, three out rule. The Federation of Small Business is pleased by the extension and the announcement of a new review into local authorities, but they warn that the review should include the tax regime. There's still plenty of room for improvement, they say. Today's review excludes the complex and burdensome tax system. The most often cited example of onerous red tape highlighted by our members, say the FSB, and they call upon ministers to bring tax measures into the scope of future reviews, as the UK's smallest businesses want to see simplification of the tax system. Overall, deregulation should be proportionate based on robust evidence and with a clear small business focus to ensure it does not benefit larger firms.
Cool. Ratepayers have been invited to be notified of the draft rateable value of their business. Business ratepayers in England and Wales can register their email addresses in order to be notified when draft rateable values are published in September 2016. The Valuation Office Agency expects to publish the updated rateable values on the 30th September 2016 as part of the 2017 re-evaluation and will be making them available online only. The re-evaluation involves an assessment of the rateable values of all business premises in England and Wales. Finalised rateable values and new business rates will come into force from the 1st of April 2017. They're going to go down, aren't they?
Yeah.
Not.
No, well, keep going.
Mm.
Government confirms proposals to tackle worker exploitation is one for me. The government has now...
Why, have you been exploiting your workers
yes.
again?
No. Quite the opposite. The government has now issued its responses to its consultation...
They've been exploiting you.
...which took place towards the end of last year on tackling exploitation. I'm thinking of you, Paul Andrews, exploiting me.
Oh.
You know, making the tea and all that sort of
That'll
stuff.
That'll be the
day. You made me one today, which is the first one for eight years, I think. I've written that down in my notebook. On tackling exploitation in the labour market, and it has announced it will enact a series of proposals to crack down on worker exploitation. So, amongst other matters, the government will reform the Gangmasters Licensing Authority to become the Gangmasters and Labour Abuse Authority with stronger policy-style enforcement powers. They will also introduce a new type of enforcement order supported by criminal offence for non-compliance. And the labour market enforcement bodies will have the power to require a business where there is reasonable belief that a labour market offence has been committed to enter into an undertaking to take steps to prevent further offending. So new proposals there by the FSB and the government on abusive and worker exploitation.
Thank you. Well, that brings to an end our FSB news update section.
Channel Radio News Update. I must just say that you can find out more about this new pet microchipping law on AK Pet Services, the lovely Adrian Kinney, on his website, which is akpetservice.co.uk. Click on the front page for information on this new law. There is a fine of, I think it's £500 or £600. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. So click on that front page and find out, because you don't want a fine for not having your dog microchipped.
Absolutely, and it's mandatory, isn't it?
It is.
At last, they have actually dug out a venom of the week.
I know, yeah. It's taken them. Well, it's 5 to 3.
Well, they're busy milking snakes.
Yeah.
But VenomTech have supplied a venom of the week. Sorry for the delay, they say.
It's quite apt for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not the blind bit.
No. I got it. The venom of the week from VenomTech has to be the Brazilian wandering spider. As well as
sounds like something that Serenity Becker would do, the Brazilian...
Exactly, a Brazilian wandering spider. Yeah. And when you consider that they're using it as the new Viagra, yeah, and it's also treats blindness,
why
apparently.
Do you say Viagra?
What do you say now?
Viagra. You probably I'm don't posh. Ask for it much, do you?
I've never asked for it ever, so I wouldn't know what to call it. That's stuff.
It's definitely not for blindness.
That's
for you,
stuff
though.
From Brazilian spiders, please.
Because at your age, that might come in very handy.
Really?
Yeah, especially...
For what purpose?
Well,
I don't want to know.
Some of your lady friends.
No, I doubt it very much. So the venom of the week, Brazilian wandering spider. Thank you for that. Cool. Right, what else we got?
Well, Peter Cook saying again. I'm not sure what that's in reply. I've got to.
Well, his elastic's gone again.
Oh, I said, are your knickers in a twist?
All right.
And he said again.
Like... We've also had a tweet from Pioneer 10 Dartford, and you can follow them on the Twitter at P10 Dartford. And they say, book now, become a digital marketing expert at our new workshop. And then they gave me a shortened link for it. It's in Dartford, digital marketing. The easiest way to find out.
You don't want a shortened link.
No, you don't want a shortened link. The easiest way to find out is to follow them on the Twitter. Which is P10 Dartford is their Twitter handle.
And Kent Photo Fair are saying, interesting what Jules Serkin just said about online shopping. If this is true, then businesses will need a photographer, which is quite right because, you know, images are crucial, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Online. I'm still trying to get my eucalyptus from Australia for cleaning, my eucalyptus oil. I wonder if Venom Tech could... squeeze me out some out of something or other.
What eucalyptus oil? Out of a spider or a snake?
Well, you never know.
Or out of a koala. Oh, they could probably squeeze it out of a koala.
They sort of go into the exotic market, don't they?
Yeah. Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services has responded to your request.
Yeah.
He says, Jules, the fine for dogs with no microchip after the 6th of April is £500.
Well, that's a lot of bread, isn't
it's
it?
It's a lot of money. It yeah, is. So you need to find out about this and you need to look at AK Pet Services' website where it will tell you all about what is needed for this.
And of course, if you rescue a dog, it'll come, it should come microchipped, as my little dog was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sevenoaks Business Show 2016, Friday the 22nd of April, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Plaza Suite at the Stag, which is London Road, Sevenoaks. It will be the show will be opened by the Right Honourable Michael Fallon, MP, Secretary of State for Defence. It's business networking, presentation and exhibits, and there's 100 goodie bags up for grabs. I went to the event last year. It were brilliant. I suggest you go this year. Right. We're just about at the end of the show, Jules.
Yeah. Are you going to Shake, Rattle and Roll this Friday at Burgate, Elsie May?
I might be.
Because I have heard a little bird tell me that you won the Jive competition in 1066.
I was 17, for goodness sake, yeah.
Yeah, but now you've lost weight.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I've lost a lot of other things as well, including a memory of how to jive.
You need that Brazilian spider, that'll
yeah,
perk
you up. Yeah, bro, that'll perk me up, yeah, no, absolutely. We're nearly at the end of the show. Coming up on Channel Radio later today at 4 o'clock, we have the fantastic Natalie Benaig with Kent Creative Live show. It is a pre-recorded show today because unfortunately Natalie's not very well, poor thing. And she's also asked me to remind you about the Kent Creative Awards. So do check out kentcreativeawards.co.uk, which is a big awards ceremony that's going down later on in this year for those people that work in the artistic and creative industries. But you can listen to the Kent Creative Live show at 4 o'clock on Channel Radio. And then at 5 o'clock, Mr. Craig Avery, the ladies' favourite, with his entertainment show. 2 hours of entertainment, music, interviews, celebrity interviews, and much more. That is followed at 7 o'clock by this.
Welcome on to the new potato show.
Eighteen glorious tracks of new, up-and-coming and unsigned music, hand-chosen for your delight and delectation by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potato Show at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. here on channelradio.co.uk.
Fabulous show.
At 9 o'clock, we then have our Comedy 60s show, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. And then we round off the evening with the fabulous...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two...
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
Wave after wave of good music. This is Channel Radio.
So, a packed evening of fantastic shows of all kinds of things for you to enjoy later on channelradio.co.uk. rounding off the evening with the fabulous Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture Show. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk. But for the time being, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin, who is temporarily Scottish.
Yeah. I'm just going to put my tweed on.
Yeah, exactly. On this week's Business Bunker Show, we had some fabulous guests. And just to remind you, we heard from the absolutely staggering Ollie Clark
and Dan Pearson's Parsons
and Dan Parsons, his partner, who rode the Atlantic for the Talisker Atlantic Challenge, and they won I think I might be making this exact time up, 42 days 17 hours and 52 minutes.
Yeah, and no seconds.
They won the pairs rowing across the Atlantic. Fabulous achievement. They think they're going to raise somewhere in the order of £80,000 for their two nominated
charities.
Plus
they're going to sell
their boat. And they're going to sell the boat and all kinds of things. Yeah. Fabulous story. There is a blog about it on the Kent Business Radio website. But a massive thank you to Ollie Clark for joining us on today's show. We also heard from Peter Cook.
We did.
With his charity concerts for cancer. And do check that out and follow it up and like them on the Facebook page and get involved and donate some money. And then we also had an interview with the lovely Susanna Schofield OBE talking about her company Dice Matrix and the work they're doing compiling interest on insurance. But you'd have been listening to me, Paul Andrews. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.